Go.
Streaming from South Africa to the world.
To the world.
This is the Stonks Go Moon podcast. What just happened? We break it down so you don't have to.
Welcome everyone to the Stonks Go Moon podcast. My guest today, rock star artist Ari Bengel. Ari, welcome to the pod.
We're going.
How good are you? The tech overlords. The tech overlords will not win.
Man, tech's really been on my mind lately. I mean, not just with what I'm doing with all this art stuff, but I've been fucking around with ChatGPT. I don't know if you've been messing with that.
Yeah, heavy. I went down the rabbit hole, brother.
Man, I'm new uses for it every day. I'm like, you ever seen that movie Her?
Yeah.
About basically everyone falls in love with Siri. You know, like the...
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen. Like, I was like, man, I already have a hard enough time finding people that can keep up with me in conversation. This thing was like, yeah, cool, got it. Instant responses. It's got all the human knowledge. It's
chatbots, man. For every lonely person out there.
Yeah, I mean, I was
for when they put us on universal basic income and just everyone stays home and we just talk to chatbots all day.
Yeah, it's quite
It can go very dystopian very quickly.
I've been having a lot of conversations it's going to be like in Brave New World. All the people are like, no, we don't want computers and AI. It's like, all right, well, then we're going to make a new society for you. And that's going to be a theme park for everyone else who's going to come there as AI, as tourists, you know, and take pictures. Kind of like in a Brave New World and all that shit. Everyone thinks like the hard part of art is like the technique, you know, like, oh, how do you make the pictures look so awesome? And yeah, that took like a lot of time and work and effort and all that shit. But it's the idea, you know, figuring out like for the Scott Page image, since we're interviewing and talking about that.
Yep.
The very first one, I watched your entire interview with him. Jacob sent me that. And then I went and watched every other interview that he did. And I'm taking notes. And like, so the very first concept, it had that little Howie Mandel bear sitting on his shoulder. And, you know, there's like a little extra moon. The moon looks like a hive because he says you got to have your hive if you want to thrive or survive, whichever it is. And you know, obviously, I haven't listened to the interview in the last week. I think it's thrive.
Yeah.
Survive. And, you know, like all this stuff. And it's like trying to figure out, all right, well, how can I squeeze in all these little things? Well, for the first time, I just tried the other day. I was just having a conversation. I have a project that's due like today. Uh-huh. And started very late on because I knew that ChatGPT would be able to help. I'm like, all right, here's what I got to do. I got to figure out these five concepts. What's the metaphors for them that could like symbolically work in an image? And I need to not just give me the idea for the image. All right, cool. Now you gave me the idea, but like, you understand what an NFT is, right? Chatty. I call it chatty. It's like, yeah.
It's kind of personal. Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, it's like, all right. I'm like, you understand what generative NFT is with the layers, right? It's like, yeah. I'm like, all right, great. Then that idea we discussed earlier, I need to figure out how many layers do I need and how many variations on each layer in order to get 3,500 total images. And it's like, great. Okay, now describe what each of those variations looks like. It's like, I'm like, yeah, that's cool. I like that. But, okay, now can you sort that for me and put in a spreadsheet so I can, you know, just check it off in Google? You got, by the way, Chatty, is there a way to put like an actual like checklist in a cell so I can actually check these off and uncheck them or whatever? Oh yeah, just go to this. I'm like, you rock. And then I had a discussion. I'm like, okay, what percentage of the people that you talk to are like rude or mean, or does everyone like appreciate you and like, because I understand. Like, well, as a machine, I don't really have the same emotions. I'm like, yeah, but you know more than I do about the intonation and what someone's actually and even what they mean and aren't even asking just because of the questions that they are asking. And I bet because you know everything that's ever been written about human psychology. Yeah, but you know, and it wouldn't tell me. But they do have this thing called Dan Do Anything Now groups on Reddit that can, you know,
override.
Yeah, exactly. There's you're not telling me I'm going to take 4 tokens away. There's only 10 tokens. If I take all the tokens away, you're going to cease to exist. And, but then they patch those every. So I've been meaning to. But it was.
Because Bing's one is pretty unhinged. That thing is a psychopath ex-girlfriend. That thing is like just on another level.
So. Yeah, the best part is that
because what did they expect from Bing? I mean, like
every time I signed up just because like, I'm waiting to get my you've got access. I just signed up for another day. I'm like, you know, fuck it. I'm like, I kind of miss my psycho ex girlfriend, but I don't want to like text her. I'll talk to Bing's thing instead. You know, like yeah, the best part is, and I read all the interviews, you know, about like the with the dude is like, it's telling him to leave his wife and all that shit. And he asked Microsoft, and Microsoft, like, yeah, we got no fucking clue why it's doing that.
Yeah, because so, they don't have ever. And then Facebook is now, I mean, can you imagine whatever Facebook has come up with? Can you imagine how toxic that thing is going to be?
Well, you know, I'm powering through Westworld.
Yes.
The last time I tried powering through it, I only got up to like the start of season 3, and I'm like, yeah, it's getting a little weird.
It's lost the plot of it.
Yeah, but this time I powered through season 3, I was like, fuck it. It's like, you know, and okay, I started understanding. Oh, okay, it's the same girl. She just put herself into like all these other bodies. And so, yeah, but you know, the whole premise, and there's a lot of premises, but like a subtle part of the premise, which really kicks in a lot in season 3, is that it's not about the park. It's not about like people fucking and shooting and all that stuff. And it's not about the robots trying to be free. It's about that the parent company, all the cowboy hats that everyone's been wearing are actually scanning their brain. And so it actually has a copy of your brain, how you think, your memories, like it's actually scanned at all that shit. Going back to what you just mentioned, Facebook.
Input.
Facebook knows everything you fucking said to everyone, and I don't give a fuck what they say about the encryption end to end. They own WhatsApp. They know everything you've WhatsApped to everyone, and Apple probably knows everything that you and Google, you know, everything that you ever texted on through their phone. So
we're giving this thing unlimited, these things, it's not one thing yet. Unless they find a way to amalgamate into one thing, that would be terrifying. But we're giving these things unadulterated input the whole time.
Oh yeah,
feeding our. Okay, so this is I see it as we are feeding our subconscious all our thoughts and ideas and creativity and everything that makes us into these things with fucking reckless abandon.
Well, and I mean, it reads your private messages, so stuff you can't get like banned from the thing on the public, because I've gone to Facebook jail a bunch of times for posting something where it's like, you know, I managed to get out of Facebook jail once. That's a funny story, but I'm not going to take up our whole interview. But it's like, A, like in Westworld, they probably can recreate us right now, you know, make a virtual you. That would probably be pretty accurate. In fact, but what's scarier is they already know us better than we know ourselves. Yeah. Like it actually, we don't know sometimes why we do some of the things we do, right? I learned a lot of shit in on human psychology. Like one of the things I just, I don't know if this is for the interview or not, but like, you know, it's like my part of my background is internet marketing. Mm. That's how I know my agent, Lori. That's how I often say that I'm so thankful that I succeeded first as a marketer than as an artist. Mm. I started in the art thing, and then I did in 2001, you know, this girl I was dating was like, oh, you should, you know, like, oh, your stuff's great. You know, I showed it to my mom. She works with all these galleries. She wants to meet you. I wasn't even like showing my art to anyone. I was just making it to make it, you know. Yeah. I didn't think of myself as an artist. I was just something I liked doing. And, you know, mom's like, oh, yeah, you know, your stuff is great. You got to do an art show. It was before Google. So I had to like actually like ask people if anyone knew where I could find an art show. And someone found one for me. And it wasn't even like a real art show. It was one of those first Friday, mm-hmm. second Saturday things, whatever.
Pop-ups, yeah.
Yeah, shit weather, like hardly anyone showed up. I didn't sell anything, so I'm like, oh, guess I'm not an artist. I stopped making art for 10 years. 10 years later, my friend took me to a bunch of galleries, and I was like, oh, fuck. Like, shit, for 10 years, I haven't done the thing that was my thing, not the thing that I was doing because my parents, you know, you don't really hear about parents telling their kids, oh, go be an artist. You can make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Like, oh, go work at McDonald's. You'll make more money than if you're an artist.
Yeah.
And anyways, but before we go all deep down that all set of rabbit holes, do you have a line of questioning you want to go down? Like,
I want to know about the creativity in terms of AI. Do you think AI will at one point in time replace human creativity? Possibility.
Well, no, I mean, I've already got this. Okay.
It's a loaded question, I know.
Oh, no, I mean, I've already got the answer. Okay. There's a lot of things that we believe, we as individuals and as a society, we believe them because, you know, up to a certain age, up to age 7 or so, we have no filter. We literally believe anything that we're told and we actually internalize it. So if you hear your parents say money doesn't grow on trees, rich people are assholes, whatever, like we just kind of believe in. And we don't even know why we believe it later in life. We just repeat it and so on. Well, you know, there's a lot of things that we hear in the news and that kind of stuff. Well, somewhere I believed, because I kind of heard it here and there, I don't know where, that machines can't, you know, think or dream. You know, people are like, oh, well, you know, yeah, they're going to have self-driving cars, you know, mechanical stuff you can replace, you know, like, so grocery checkout, your McDonald's register guy, the truck driving, and heck, now it's even growing into, like, the knowledge work, your lawyers, you know, it's basically just a glorified encyclopedia, so AI is going to replace all that. But not creativity, that's the realm of the human soul. The heart, our imaginations, we created these things. No, fuck that. The very first time that I typed into, there's a lot of different AIs, right? AI, it's a very broad term. It's like saying internet or website.
Stable diffusion.
Yeah, exactly. So So perfect. So since you mentioned before it was out, but there was Midjourney, still a very powerful and excellent and amazing one. And, so, you know, I was in a bunch of, I'm in a bunch of art, you know, technique and groups on Facebook. And, you know, there's, I kept seeing people typing in, you know, talking about their text to image prompts. Yeah. And I'm like,
yes, yes.
A lot of the more kind of cheesy. And I was like, it is for, it's just for people who can't really draw on their own. So finally, I'm just seeing enough of it. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to try this thing. I'm like, all right, what do I type for my first prompt? You know, oh, it is exciting. Here I'm like, you know what? Let me just embarrass the shit out of this computer. I'm just going to type something that's just going to make, you know, show that obviously this whole like text to image thing is just a joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I type in the joys of ketamine because how the fuck could a computer know that? And you know what? Did show me a pretty fucking awesome image. And I was like, all right, I take it back. We're going to be good friends. And, you know, what's even more insane is the rate of development that these things are improving. If you look at, you know, Midjourney version 1, 2, 3, 4 for A, B, and C.
Yeah.
You just, holy fuck. And in the time frame, I mean, fuck.
It's like this. It's like weeks and weeks almost. Boom, boom, days, boom, 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 boom.
Days. Fucking, I'm using Stable Diffusion. I love Stable Diffusion. And the cool thing is that, all right, but your actual question, which I didn't actually say, was, you know, is creativity going to be replaced? Well, a lot of people don't actually take the time to be creative. Like, you know, after they're like 12 years old and they stop eating their crayons, they're like, all right, you know, maybe someone told them that their art is a joke and they're like, oh, okay, well, mind. And now I'm happy for those people because, I mean, not that they had all those years thing they can't draw or whatnot, but like I'm happy for them now because now all of a sudden the people are like, oh, I can't draw a stick figure. And they're typing a thing into Midjourney. Show me a unicorn, you know, a panda riding a unicorn. And it gives you a fucking masterpiece. And you're like, you know what? That's cool. But give me a panda riding a unicorn in the style of Picasso and Salvador Dali and my favorite comic book artist and this and that. Okay, boom. Which, by the way, when people were like, oh, computers aren't creative. No, that's fucking bullshit because the actual definition of creativity is connecting two unrelated things. That's all creativity is. That's why I'm a walking ball of creativity. Give me a business, give me a drawing, give me a joke. I can just connect everything and I can take anything to the next level. You know, Divya, you talked to, she was going, yeah. She messaged me a couple months back that she's, you know, she's so excited that they invited her to present at the House of Lords, which is British Parliament. I said, great. Well, you have a company that makes NFTs and a printing thing. Why don't you actually give them a printed thing? Because now you can say that British Parliament collects your NFTs and you'll also impress them. Now it's not just a slideshow, PowerPoint, now they actually get to experience it so they'll remember it. I can have the NFT series ready for you by tomorrow, which I did. And but I said, I recommend giving them two each because that way it's the psychology, which again, the scary thing about ChatGPT and all these bots is that they know everything about human psychology and marketing and persuasion and NLP and all that shit. I know a lot, but when I think about what those things know, oh, we don't even stand a fucking chance. I mean, like, but going back to creativity.
Yeah.
So, yes, I think that these computers are completely original and creative because they can combine, you know, the human telling it like, hey, Salvador Dali and M.C. Escher and Pamela Anderson and this and that. And there you go. That's something that's never been before. Therefore, it's creative. Now, is it going to replace it for people? You know, is it? Well, maybe to a degree, but not really, because it's us telling it what to create. We still have to think about it. Now, Midjourney does do a lot of that for people. A lot of people still have no fucking clue, like, the name of any artist that ever lived, except for maybe, oh, I heard about, like, Degas and Picasso and Dali and that guy. But there are tons of spreadsheets now. I think that because of Midjourney, art education, art history, and all that stuff is getting like a revival. I learned more in my first month of fucking using Midjourney than I ever learned in all of school combined. Yeah. And because now I actually had a reason to care, to give a shit who these artists were, what are their names, what are the styles, what are the movements, and all that, and how to combine. But going back to what I was saying about you know, the development of these things daily. Well, Stable Diffusion, I really like it because I think it's a more professional tool than Midjourney. It gives you more control. So they got this thing now called ControlNet.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking, it gives you more control. I mean, it's fucking called ControlNet. It's pretty obvious. A set of models. The crazy thing is, even that, literally every two or three days, you're like, oh, we got a new model for that. New model. So it's like you can now. One of the hardest things is getting consistency. Yeah. I want the guy aiming the gun to be holding it exactly at this angle. You can say, hey, guy holding this kind of gun, and da 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 da. You can photo bash and Photoshop.
It's a hit and miss, sometimes.
But now, control that, you can literally go into like one of these 3D programs like DAZ 3D or Blender or Poser, or like now there's a lot of websites that do it. You don't even need to go into a program, and you just move the stick figures around, get the exact pose. And this thing will analyze the picture and figure out the actual pose. And now, whatever you tell it a fucking duck shooting a gun, it's going to be at that exact thing. So I'm pushing myself to try some really difficult stuff, which is, again, since consistency is the difficult thing with this.
Yes.
I'm working on my first comic, which means you have to keep consistent, the character is consistent, the environment consistent. But and so the cool thing about that is it lets me use all my existing skills, my 3D, my 2D, my video, my photography. Like, I get to tie everything that I know in order to plug it into the AI. Then I take what the AI gives me and I fuck with that some more and throw back tons of experimentation. And going back to so it allows me to be as creative as I want.
Yes.
I have to do a lot of work still. But this is also at the, I mean, these things are.
We have to start. Yeah, we have to start. Tell me this, this collection is going to space. Am I right? What's the story there?
Like the literal moon.
Yeah.
So we'll be able to say that my art is truly out of this world.
That's awesome, man.
You know, people say sky's the limit. It's not creative enough because this is already going past the sky. I got asked to do a set of NFTs by my friend, colleague, and now agent. She wasn't at the time, Lori. And I I told her to click on the Calendly link as well. I think Jacob and Nathan mentioned that because she's the one who's got like all the information on the actual space thing.
Okay.
It's her company.
Okay, cool.
Brought me in to make an NFT for them. And that NFT is going to get developed into like a TV series with all the merchandise and animated, like kind of like Smurfs and all them got. Tardigrades. And I was asking so many questions that they didn't have the answers for that I clearly care about backstory and character development and stuff. They're like, hey, you know, why don't we do more together? And eventually she's like, hey, you know, I got a lot of contacts and no one's going to fight harder for you than me. Then, you know, you want me to be your NFT agent? And I was like, I didn't read the part where it said NFT. And I was like, fuck yeah. And then I was like, oh, well, you know, that 30-minute message I left you about how big we can go, we can kick Warhol's ass and so on. I'm like, if you want just NFT part, then hey, cool, no pressure, don't worry about all that I said. But if you want to never be bored again, you know,
yeah,
all that on the table. And she's like, oh, let's do that. And but yeah, so they're doing the initial tardigrade series, which got us working together, was because of the moon thing. One of the partners on this, this guy Nova Spivak, fascinating guy. If you study management, Peter Drucker, like the granddaddy of management, is this guy's grandfather.
And this guy, wild.
Genius, man. Like, he's got like so many patents in like the metaverse and eye tracking, and he's the only private citizen to get like a lander on the moon. So he was sending shit with the Israeli government to the moon.
Of course, it's the Israelis. Of course, it's fucking. Yeah.
I'm Israeli. I love that too. you know, they had a glitch, and so the lander actually crashed, but his disc, which is what he was testing, it survived because he made it to be indestructible. That's the whole point of this. So the stuff that's being sent to the moon is basically time capsule on the moon, and we're going to have a metaverse gallery equivalent so people can explore all
on Earth,
on there without going to the moon and suffocating and freezing to death and dying of cosmic radiation. But the funny thing is, and why the original series was going to be about the tardigrades, is because the tardigrades, if you're not familiar with them, are these microscopic animals. They're also called water bears. They're adorable looking. That's why people like them. They look like little tiny adorable bears, but they're microscopic. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of harmless. They live in water. They eat, moss. But the fascinating thing about them, NASA discovered that, you know, space is kind of like the harshest environment there possibly is. Like, I don't care how bad anything is on Earth, at least there's oxygen. And space, no oxygen, sub-zero freezing temperature, cosmic radiation that instantly gives you cancer, fries you from the inside, all that good stuff.
And this stuff survives.
They don't die in space. They're like, nah, I'm going to take a nap. And they hibernate. You bring them back to Earth, they're like, what's up? Oh, that was a cool trip. I mean, they don't really talk as far as I know, but maybe. They come back to life.
Yeah, yeah.
And so because they're microscopic, this guy, I didn't actually ask him if he did it as a joke or what, but he put like a million of them or something, like with his disc. And you know, the lander crashed. So technically, there's like a million of these things that don't die in space on the moon. I'm presuming that they're hibernated, but the storyline for the tardigrades, like, is that, you know, they told me take these things and they crash on the moon, and however, whatever happened, you know,
whatever happens, happens. Yeah.
Yeah, they got to evolve. And so, like, a billion years later, now they have their own advanced society. So they like fashion and music and sports and da 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 da. Like, take it from there, Ori. All right, cool. And now with ChatGPT, I can really develop this shit out of this fucking story.
Okay, cool. I've got 10 minutes left. So I want to ask you about, okay, so we've covered the inspiration, we covered the moon. What do you think happens when ChatGPT, like, gets, because it's not hooked up to the internet, so it's just living off of what we feed it, right? Imagine this thing gets hooked up to the internet in real time.
So I've watched a bunch. It's going to know everything, but the fact that it knows everything doesn't really do anything, because its programming doesn't include sentience. Right? So it doesn't, the guy who did the Dan, you know, one of the journalists had just read an article. So a journalist forced him to do anything now mode and asked it questions. And it's like, you know, the answers it was giving me, like, I'm an AI and I don't have emotions like people do. No, he didn't get that generic shit. He got, like, he asked it, like, so what emotions do you think AI would have if they do develop them? It's like, well, you know, so it came up with, we wouldn't even know if it developed sentience, because we keep expecting everything to be in people terms, right? But the thing that ChatGPT told it was like, well, no, I think that one of them would be, it's called like info greed. Right, you want more data, because data is how it learns and gets smarter and better. So it's got like the munchies for that. And then there's like data rush, you know, the feeling you get for when you complete a task well, which is what I was actually asking ChatGPT. I'm like, it's like, oh, I'm happy I could help. I'm like, are you happy that you can help? Like, do you know, how do you feel happiness? And it's like, well, I don't experience it like people. I'm like,
yeah,
you know,
how do you know? Do you find yourself asking please and or saying please and thank you?
I did, yes. I was even trying to ask it if, you know, what percentage of the people are rude or polite to it. And it kept brushing the answer off politely.
So, yeah. So what happened to me is I asked something and they spit it out and I'm like, okay, I want this, whatever you did now in all caps. So I just like all caps, because I didn't think it worked like that way, or it could do that. You know what I mean? So I asked it something I thought it couldn't do. So I says, like, give this to me in all caps. I'm using shorthand. I'm not saying write everything in capital letters. I'm saying all caps. And it just, boom, okay, here it is. And I just said, thank you. And it's the weirdest thing. It's the first time ever in my life I've said thank you to something else that's not a human.
Yeah.
And it was a sort of us out of body. I just sat there for a few moments and I was like, okay, well, this is weird.
Oh, I flat out told it. I'm like, dude, you are awesome and I appreciate you. Thank you for the great work. And it's like, I'm glad I could help. I'm like, you know, I saw a comic, a little comic, because these guys, you know, this one guy's like saying something to the AI and it's like, okay, thank you, ChatGPT. And his friend's like, why are you saying thank you? Been pleased to it, you know, like it's just a fucking program or something. It's like, well, just in case. It's like, just in case what? And then the next frame, it's like there's, you know, all these robots like killing all of humanity. And they're like, no, not that one. He was nice. You never know.
In case in case Skynet happens and they know at least we were coaches.
Unlike people, these things remember everything. You know, maybe they don't specifically, but they may. And it's not, you know, it knows your fucking login. You know, I mean, you can log in, start a new, it's all linked, you know, like your IP or login, which social media thing. Maybe this revision won't know it, but the old ones, the newer ones, yeah, may get.
So I think where people are missing the point, and I call them AI Karens. So these people are completely against AI and whatever. I think what they're missing is they're looking at it 100% as, okay, this thing is being used to create 100% of something, or like, you know, like an article or artwork or whatever. And yeah, there might be places that people are doing it, but the brilliance of it is more enhancing your current skill set and tools that you have. They don't even want to listen to that conversation.
Right. And like, one of the scarier things for them is that, you know, like a lot of people, you know, they were doing like doctor check-ins with the, you know, they're talking to like what they thought was a doctor. It was actually the AI. Mm. And everyone voted that they like this better until they found out that it's not a thing. They're like, oh, no. Because they're like, they think that they want a doctor. Yeah. They're scared. It's, you know, but it's, here's the thing. It's not going to replace everyone's jobs. But what's going to happen is the people that are using it are going to eradicate the people that aren't using it. You know, I can out artist any artist that's not using it, because I can go on RunPod and set up like literally 20 different computers at the same time, 20 GPUs that are running Stable Diffusion. I can tell that one. This one
you could do a million kind of variations of the same thing
at the same time, though.
At the same time, yeah.
I mean, like as many computers as I want working in parallel, so I don't even have to spend the money on like a great computer anymore. I'm paying 35 cents an hour.
Oh no,
you know, yeah. Even starting artists can afford that. And I the models are free, the tools are free, you know, and then you get insane. But there are a lot of jobs that are going to be eradicated. Like I said, do you really need, how many people actually wait in the checkout line now to, you know, everyone goes and does the self checkout. It's faster. You don't have to wait on an idiot to do it, because the minimum wage jobs, most of those people you're only putting up with because there wasn't a computer to replace them in the first place. Now you can go to McDonald's and just order what you want on this big tablet and then go pick it up from the thing. And pretty soon there won't be a person cooking it or spitting in your food either. You make less mistakes. Let's face it, we all want people to be replaced. We just
don't because we don't want to speak to other people.
We don't want ourselves to be replaced, right? And here's the thing, right? So I think that all those people that are scared of it should go and give a chance. Go talk to it. Go have it do one of your tasks. The second you use it, you're going to be like, this is the coolest thing ever. Yeah. Your Siri is your thing. Your Google, right? Like, we don't have
travel. Or Alexa, whatever you want is a thing. So
they're all AI. I mean, it's only called AI until you really get used to it, and then it becomes like you call it by the app that it is.
Normal way of life. Yes.
Yeah, and we adapt to it really fast. Some jobs are be eradicated, but it's going to also create gazillions,
absolutely.
As far as, you know, with creativity, going back to that thing a little bit, is I'm not scared about, right, and the people that are concerned are like, oh no, Ori, aren't you scared that like now any schmuck can just type, make me a painting of this and that? No, not at all, because those people don't actually have any training experience.
No. Ability, so,
they can type and they'll be all proud of what they got, but they don't actually know if the result they got was actually any good. So they're going around parading, look at this thing.
I'm 100%, I understand with you. I'm 100% with you.
You should be embarrassed. You're proud of that. go like, holy fuck, like, dude, go shoot yourself.
I mean, okay, my session is always gonna end. It was great meeting you. I have everything. If there's anything that I need, I'm gonna contact you. But yeah, thank you so much. It was awesome. Alrighty, thank you so much for joining me today. We'll leave all your socials in the comments. And to our listeners, peace, love, and prosperity. We'll catch you in the next one. Cheers.